Amen. All right. So good to be back here again and see you all again. First, I want to thank Pastor Shelley for sending me here. I'm really thankful to be a part of the work that he's doing at Steadfast, but I do miss you guys a lot. So it's great to be back here again. Thank you, Pastor Thompson, for allowing me to fill the pulpit. Really appreciate it. And we're here in Titus chapter 1. And if you know anything about the book of Titus, it starts off by giving the qualifications of the pastor. And right after giving the qualifications of the pastor, he gives them a group of people that he needs to fight against. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, he gives them a list of good, sound doctrine that the pastor or preacher needs to be teaching, and he gives them some things that he wants to avoid. But notice, right after giving the qualifications of the pastor, he's warning him about wicked people, and he gives him a charge. He gives him a group of people that he needs to fight against. You know, the church is not a place where you just fill up anybody, any just bozo, and just try to get as many human beings in a room as possible. No, there's some people that are enemies. There's some people that need to be fought against, and there's some people that need to shut their mouths. Let's read Titus chapter 1, verse 9. The Bible says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake." And the title of my sermon is Shut Their Mouths. Shut their mouths. You see here, we get the qualifications of the pastor, and he tells them a group of people that's wicked, that's hurting people, subverting whole houses. Hey, and their mouths have to be stopped. And this is not something most churches do. Most churches, it's just a free-for-all, whatever doctrine can be in the church, whatever type of person can be in the church, but that's not what the Bible teaches. These people that need their mouths shut. Let's look at verse number 12, and let's read. "One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liar, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess God, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work," here's the key word, "reprobate." Who are the people that need their mouths shut? It's prophets that are reprobates. Now, a lot of people teach that these people are saved because it says, "Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." I personally believe that that's referring to the people in verse 9, the gainsayers, those that would resist or gainsay. He's saying, hey, rebuke these false prophets so that those people can be sound in the faith. But the people that need their mouths shut today are false prophets, people that are reprobates. Now, I'll also read for you, because I've heard of weird things about this chapter, that because they say they profess that they know God, well, maybe they're saved, and maybe they lost their salvation. It's totally garbage. They profess that they know God, but it's a different God. I'll read for you. Romans 1:28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." So you false prophets, they don't want to retain the real God in their knowledge. They profess that they know God, but you know, the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't want to keep that God in their knowledge. They profess that they know God, but they're actually reprobate, is what Titus is saying. You know what? It's the preacher's job. It's the pastor's job. It is what they are supposed to do, to shut their mouths. That's what they're supposed to do, and this can be applied to a pastor or a preacher or every single person in this room so that you can know if you're in the right type of church. So you can know if your pastor is doing his job. But you know what? Who are some people that your pastor has preached against? Who are some people that your pastor has shut their mouths? How about Daniel Fusco? Amen. The guy that preaches a repent of your sins gospel. Hey, that guy needs his mouth shut today. How about Sam Gipp that says that Jesus wasn't supposed to be the Messiah? That he's not his Messiah. I've heard Pastor Thompson preach against that false prophet. How about Rabbi Zacharias? How about Billy Graham? How about all these people that your pastors preach against? That's because that's what the Bible says to do, to shut their mouths. Now, why do we need to shut their mouths today? Why do we need to shut their mouths today? You know, this guy Manly Perry, is pastor of Old Paths Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas, really close to where I live. Here's what he said. He said, "I personally believe that Judas got more people saved than any other disciple." Wow. And you know, if you're new to church, if you're new to the Bible, Judas is someone that the Bible said was a devil from the beginning. He was an infiltrator. He never believed in Jesus Christ. He never was saved, and he certainly wasn't getting anybody saved. But let's read this again. Go to verse number 11. "Is it true that Judas got more people saved than anyone else? Is it true that false prophets can get people saved? Well, look at verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Here's why. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. You want to know why we have to shut these people's mouth? Is because they send people to hell. That's why. False prophets, hey, they're not just empty suits that are just filling up a church. No, they're doing a real job. They're sending people to hell. They're not getting people saved. And you know what? What's the practical application of that truth, Manly Perry? Every truth we get from the Word of God, every spiritual truth in the Bible has a practical and a spiritual application. What's the spiritual application of false prophets able to get people saved? What's the spiritual application of saying that Judas got more people saved than anyone else? Here's what it is. Don't preach against them because they're doing God's work, because they're getting so many people saved. Hey, you would never want to kick someone out of church that preaches a false gospel because they're getting more people saved than you are. Why would we fight against anybody if that was true? Why would you preach against anybody? It's ridiculous. You know what? Number one, we have to shut their mouths because they are sending people to hell. The Bible says that they devour whole houses. Go to John 10. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 12. This is the words of Jesus. And he said, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep." So you know what a hireling does? A hireling is a pastor that sees the wolf and does nothing about it. He flees. He lets the wolf come in. And notice what the wolf does. It devours the sheep, right? The wolf's not getting the sheep saved. But the hireling is the person that sees the wolf and doesn't preach against them. Hey, and that's pretty bad to be a hireling. But you know what? Manly Perry is worse than a hireling. Because not only does he just not preach against the false prophet, not only does he just flee when he sees the wolf, he says the wolf is doing more for God than anyone. That's worse than a hireling. That is horrific doctrine right there. That is trash. Garbage preaching right there. Worse than a hireling. You know, there's only three options with Manly Perry. Either Manly Perry is a saved man of God and he's a great guy. Or number two, he's saved and he's wicked as hell. Or number three, he is a reprobate false prophet. If you think number one, you're an idiot. Because he's worse than the hireling. So number one is off the table. And that's why this guy has to get called out, because he is wicked as hell. Teaching someone like Judas gets more people saved than the rest of the disciples. You want to know why he's probably teaching that crap? Is because he sees Pastor Anderson getting all these people saved, and he wants to go upload his YouTube videos, or I'm sorry, preach sermons without uploading them to YouTube to his congregation, calling Pastor Anderson Judas. That's why he's teaching this doctrine. Oh, Pastor Anderson's Judas, but he's just hiding behind all of these saved converts of his. It's trash. It is garbage. You know what the point of a false prophet is? It's because they send people to hell. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Let's just slow down for a second. What are the false prophets doing? They're bringing in damnable heresy. What is damnable heresy? Damnable heresy is something that if you believe, you're not saved. You're not going to be able to be saved. You know, things like saying you don't have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Like what Manly Perry teaches. That you don't have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Well, you know what? I'll read for you John 4:10. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a requirement for salvation. It's not optional. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to call out, whether that's in your heart or with your mouth, and confess him and ask him to save you. That is what salvation is. You know, people accuse us of having no grace, and we're just bloodthirsty. We're just out to get people. You know what, though? I heard Manly Perry teach this damnable heresy way back in 2017. And I stopped listening to him way back in 2017 because of this crap that he was preaching. Garbage that he was preaching. But did we go around and bury him? Did we go out and, you know, hunt for blood on him? No, we gave him grace for 2017 and 2018 and 2019. Hey, and now in 2020, this guy's finally getting called out. But you know what? You deserve it. You deserve it. Oh, you know, I'm sick of everyone calling everyone reprobates. Well, stop acting like a reprobate. Stop teaching things reprobates believe. It's disgusting. No grace, liar. You just want, you know what people that say that crap really want? They just want us to compromise. That's what they want. There's such a push right now to get us to compromise. But you know what? This church wasn't started on compromise. Our friends' churches weren't started on compromise. And Johnny Come Lately can go compromise all he wants. Not here. That's not what we believe. It's garbage. Go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Here's another damnable heresy. What do these false prophets do? They bring in damnable heresy. They're not getting people saved. They're teaching people lies that if you believe, you're not saved. Right. 1 John 5, here's another damnable heresy. Oneness. Saying that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost are just one person and that they just transform different forms and put on different hats. It's a garbage doctrine. But 1 John 5:10 says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." And this record that God hath given to us is eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Anyone that denies the eternal sonship of Christ denies the record that God gave and is not saved. You know, if someone comes in here and preaches oneness, they're privily bringing in damnable heresy. They're not getting people saved. They're trying to get people to believe damnable heresy. What's another damnable heresy? That you have to work your way to heaven. That you have to have good works to be saved. I'll read for you Galatians 5:4. It says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace." So you're trusting at all in your works whatsoever. Christ is of no effect to you whatsoever. You know, and that's why Pastor Thompson has to shut the people's mouth that teach that you have to repent of your sins to be saved. That's why he has to preach against people like John MacArthur and people that preach these lies. You know, people preach another damnable heresy that there's multiple ways to heaven, like Billy Graham. Maybe that's why Pastor Thompson has to preach against people like that. Jesus said, "I am the truth, the way, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's a damnable heresy to teach otherwise. You know, I thought this was pretty basic, but apparently we have to go back to this. If people are teaching that false prophets are getting people saved, it's garbage. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, this is Paul speaking in verse 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Are these people doing something good? No, he's saying they're troubling you. They're perverting the gospel. They're perverting the truth. They're not getting people saved. Verse 8, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You know, because the Apostle Paul wanted to please God and not man, because he loved the truth, when he sees people bringing in a false gospel, troubling them, perverting the truth of God, you know what he said about people that preach the false gospel? Let them be accursed. What does that mean? Let them go to hell. That's a very harsh statement. Hell is a horrific place, a place of fire and torment that lasts for forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he's saying, if you preach another gospel, hey, you deserve to go to hell. That's what he said. Why? Because Paul was a fundamentalist. Because Paul cared about people. Paul cared about the truth. And he understood that there's people that subvert whole houses. And so he had to shut their mouths. And he had to say, hey, let these people go to hell. It's the person that loves people that's willing to call out the wicked false prophets. They subvert whole houses. You don't want to see whole houses subverted. You don't want to see families getting torn apart. You don't want to see families believing damnable heresy. And if a person actually loves houses, if people actually love families in their church, they'll call out the false prophets. People accuse us of being hateful, but it's actually loving. The person that's afraid, the hireling is not loving. The hireling is one that doesn't care if whole houses are subverted, that doesn't care if all the sheep get devoured. It's a bad pastor that has that type of attitude. They do not get people saved. And you know, since we're in this chapter, Manly Perry preached a sermon on Galatians chapter 1, and here's what he said. He said, "Let them be accursed." What does this mean? Does this mean we want them to go to hell? Does this mean if some Jehovah's Witness knocks on our door and is preaching the wrong gospel that we just want them to go to hell? No. Well, the real answer to that is yes. How are you going to apply this verse? If this verse doesn't apply to Jehovah's Witnesses preaching a false gospel, please tell me what this verse does apply to. What does it apply to? He said that this scripture is running through his mind, and this is what he comes up with? This is expository preaching on Galatians 1:8? Are you kidding me? Sounds like an unsaved mind to me to bring this kind of garbage. No, we do want them to go to hell. You know what I say when a Mormon missionary tries to talk to me? Go to hell. That's the first and only words out of my mouth. That's it. You know why? Because they're sending people to hell. They're not getting people saved. You know, one time we were soul winning in Woodland, Washington. Brother Robert was giving the gospel, and these Mormons kept coming back to the door trying to pull him away. I should have just let them do that then, since they were just going to go get people saved. No, you know what me and CJ did? We told them to go to hell. Amen. We said, let them be accursed. And we rebuked them sharply. We shut their mouth because we don't want the whole house subverted. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Go to 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Do you want them to go to hell? Yes, because I want other people to go to heaven. Amen. I want other people to go to heaven. 2 John chapter 1 verse 10. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You know what? You can let your bleeding heart bleed all over the ground, but at the end of the day, you have a pastor that actually believes the Bible. You have a pastor that's actually doing his job, and he's not going to bid these false prophets Godspeed. You go ahead and give your pearls before swine, and you preach the gospel of false prophets all you want, and you could be the bleeding heart that's in violation of the Bible. But that's not what your pastor believes. Because you have a pastor that's not a hireling. Like Manly Perry, he's worse than a hireling. We already went over that. Go to Matthew chapter 23. Let's keep seeing. Are these false prophets getting people saved? Matthew 23. Jesus preaching in Matthew 23, rebuking the Pharisees in verse 13, he says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that are entering to go in." Can you think of a worst type of scum on this planet that not only are they not saved, but they are hindering other people from getting saved? Just think about that. There's nothing worse on the earth than a false prophet. They shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. They're not getting anybody saved. What kind of a person teaches this? What kind of a person says that Judas got more people saved than any other disciple? It's not some small issue. This is not some small doctrine. This is crazy. This is wicked as hell to teach something like this. Look at verse 14. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation." You know that hell will be hottest for the false prophets of this earth. Hell will be hotter for no one than someone teaching lies in the name of Jesus Christ. Hell will be hotter for no one than those Mormons that tried to stop Brother Robert from preaching the gospel. Hell will be hotter for no one than Judas Iscariot. Hell will be hotter for no one than Billy Graham and Sam Gipp and all these false prophets that your pastor takes a stand against and shuts their mouth. Hell will be hot for these people. Verse 15. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, he gets saved." No, he says, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. The only thing that they do is create more reprobates. They create more reprobates. And you know, it's very sad, because I remember one time, me and Brother Remy were preaching up in Spokane, and we were driving back. We took like this crazy wrong turn, and we were in the middle of nowhere, and we were in a tiny, itty-bitty town. I'm talking like less than 100 people or something like that. And you know who we saw there? Mormons! And they're not getting people saved, guys. They're making them twofold more the child of hell. They're on a mission. Satan has a bigger army than we do. They're on a mission. Because guess what? All other religions are false. There's one that's true. There's one group of people getting people saved. You know what the rest of them are doing? Making people twofold more the child of hell. They're not getting anyone saved. It's such a wicked thing to say that false prophets get people saved, because the application of that is, well, stop fighting. Let the Mormons do what they do. Hey, let the false prophets come in. Don't rebuke any of these people. That's the application of that garbage lie. Now, why is it? Why is it that a false prophet can't just go out there and tear it up with the gospel? Why is it? Go to Romans chapter 1. Because they say, well, isn't the power of God, isn't the gospel the power of God unto salvation? Are you limiting God by saying a person, a soul winner, has to preach the gospel to them, a saved person? Are you limiting God? Well, you know what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let's read that verse, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But let's go back one verse. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that's why in Romans 1:15, Paul says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Yeah, of course the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But guess what? Who has to preach it? A saved Christian. That's who has to preach it. Hey, you know, a gun has a lot of power, but it has no power if no one's wielding it. A sword has a lot of power, but it has no power at all if it's lying on the ground. And you know what? The gospel is a lot of power, but it has no power in the hands of a false prophet. It needs to be wielded by a saved Christian. It's the only thing. Hey, only we can do that. Judas Iscariot can't do that. It's garbage. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's a ridiculous doctrine. False prophets do not get anyone saved. It only is revealed from faith to faith. That's the only way you're getting anyone saved. In verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, I'll read for you, tells us how someone believes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. It has to be done by a spirit-filled preacher. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Man, I would love this doctrine to be true. I wish that all the false prophets of the world were getting people saved. That'd make our job a lot easier. But you know, it's stupid to believe a lie. It's so stupid to believe a lie. And anybody that goes to that church that believes that stupid lie must never read their Bible. You must be the most non-spiritual person ever to continue to go to that church. Brainwashed cult members go to that church. Craziness to believe this kind of trash. How do you excuse that? How do you sit in a church and excuse when your pastor just said that? You know what would happen here if Pastor Thompson said that? It'd be ridiculous, but he would never say anything that's stupid because Pastor Thompson's saved. Amen. That's why. Right. Romans 16. How is it that we shut these people's mouth? Does 6'8" Pastor Thompson just grab them and just sew their lips together? I wish. I would love to see that. It'd be awesome. You know what? This is how it's done. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. How do you mark them? It's by preaching against them. So it's like, oh, I don't like Pastor Thompson's so-and-so is roasting in hell series. He's marking them. He's shutting their mouth. He's doing what the pastor's supposed to do. Why don't you be thankful that you have a pastor that does that? You have so many bleeding hearts today that just want to say, oh, you're so hateful. We just need more grace. You must not read the Bible. You must not actually understand the reprobate doctrine. Everyone says they understand the reprobate doctrine. You know what? I'm starting to wonder about that. Because the only wolves in sheep clothing that people believe exists are a backwards collar wearing priest or a Oonga Boonga speaking guy in Africa raising people from the dead. Those are not the only false prophets in this world. Sometimes they're independent, fundamental Baptist preachers. That's what a wolf in sheep's clothing is. Sheep's clothing. They look like us. We have to mark them. How do you know when they're the false prophet? Well, when this kind of crap starts coming out of their mouth. When you start seeing that they're making excuses for false prophets, saying you don't have to call upon the name of the Lord, teaching oneness, teaching you have to repent of your sins to be saved, that's a false prophet. That is a devil. And it's the pastor's job or the preacher's job to shut their mouth. Amen. We need to shut their mouth, number one, because they're sending people to hell. But number two, there's a second reason why we have to shut their mouth, and that's because they cause Christians to fall into their trap. You know, false prophets can never cause a Christian to go to hell. Once you're saved, you're always saved. A false prophet can never cause you to lose your salvation. He can never do what he wants to do. But you know what? They can cause Christians to fall. They can ruin Christians' lives. They can destroy their spiritual walk with God. They can cause them to become gainsayers. Look at verse number 9 of Titus chapter 1. Sorry, go back to Titus chapter 1. Verse number 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. And look at verse 13. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. The second reason we have to preach against these people, not only is because they're subverting whole houses, devouring widows' houses, sending people to hell, but you know what? They're causing Christians to not be sound in the faith. They're causing Christians to become gainsayers. Now, what is gainsaying? Go to Luke chapter 21. The Merriam-Webster definition of gainsaying is to declare to be untrue or invalid, to contradict or oppose. So, and I'm going to show you that the Bible matches that definition. But basically, false prophets will get into saved Christians' head, teaching them lies, and cause them to gainsay, to resist, to speak against, to oppose the right doctrine and the right things that your pastor is preaching. That's what they'll cause them to do. Luke 21, verse 12, we're just going to get the definition of gainsay. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. So see, that matches what the dictionary said is the definition of gainsay. Go to Romans chapter 10, and I'll show you one more on that. Romans chapter 10, verse 20, we'll get the same definition. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So gainsaying is just speaking against, contradicting. The pastor will preach a sermon that's doctrinally sound, that's backed up with the word of God. And what gainsayers do is they disobey that teaching. They reject that teaching. They speak against that teaching or contradict that teaching. And I want to show you that false prophets not only send people to hell, but they cause Christians to become gainsayers. Go to Numbers chapter 16, and I'll read for you Jude. In Jude verse 10, the Bible gives us an example. I'll just read for you the last part of the verse. It says, woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. So the Bible even gives us an example case of a person that is a gainsayer. Now, this person was unsaved. Korah was definitely not saved. He went down into hell. But you'll see how he causes people to become gainsayers with him. You're there. Did I have you turn to number 16? Number 16. Look at verse number 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. So we have this reprobate Korah, the false all these false prophets listed, all these wicked people. What do? They take men. This reminds me, I'll read for you Acts 20. Paul is talking to the elders at Ephesus, and this is what he says in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And that's exactly what happens in number 16. Korah and all these false prophets, you know what they did? The first thing they did? They took men. Look at verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. Sounds like gainsaying to me. And said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves among the congregation of the Lord. So what have we seen so far? They gather disciples unto themselves, and what are they doing? Gainsaying. They're causing these people to gainsay, to speak against the leadership and saying, you know, you leaders are taking too much upon you. We're just as holy as you are. You're just, you know, you're putting yourself in this role that you don't deserve or whatever. And they're speaking against him. You know, you ought to be careful of people that criticize leadership. Yeah, that's right. People that'll get on Facebook and passive-aggressively, you know, talk crap about Pastor Thompson, call him a FEMA pastor. Hey, watch out for the gainsayers. They're wicked people. And you know what? People better never talk crap to Pastor Thompson about me, because I'll tell immediately. Oh, you bootlicker. No, I just actually believe the Bible. You know, people at Steadfast Baptist Church better never talk crap about Pastor Shelley to me, because I will tell. I will bring that crap to him. I'm not going to allow gainsaying against men of God no matter where I am. Not going to allow that. And you should have that same attitude. Oh, you're a snitch. Don't worry about what people say. Worry about what the Bible says. Verse number 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. So notice, he's doing, like in Titus chapter 1, he's supposed to use the faithful word and shut these people's mouth. Right? And him as a leader, who is he addressing? He's addressing the false prophets, and he's telling them, shut your mouth, basically. He's like, you're the one taking too much upon you. We're going to let the Lord see who are his. Verse number 20. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Notice, these false prophets that got everyone to gainsay, it made God so angry that he was ready to destroy everybody but Moses and Aaron. You know what that should tell you? When you allow a little bit of this gainsaying crap in church, it brings God's wrath on the whole congregation. That's why you cannot play around with this garbage. You cannot allow people to crap talk the pastor and to rail against the pastor and to be gainsaying against the pastor, because it brings God's wrath. And if Moses wasn't about to do what he did, they all would have been destroyed. Look at verse number 22. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of all spirits, or the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with the congregation? The answer to that is yes. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So he tells them, all right, Moses, here's what you need to do. You need to warn the people there to get away from Korah, get away from Dathan, get away from from Abiram. This reminds me of how the Bible says in Titus 1, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. You have to shut the mouths of the false prophets because they're sending people to hell. But you know what? You also have to preach against them so that people in here are not destroyed, so that people in here can be sound in the faith. He's saying, all right, Moses, you better warn them to get out of the way. Get out of Korah's way. Get out of the way, because I am going to destroy these people. Verse 25, and Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. That's what that means. He's giving them a strong warning. Hey, even if you're saved, get away from these wicked people, lest you be consumed as well. You say, is it a really big deal if I listen to someone like Manly Perry? Maybe I can still just like and share his sermons. Yeah, it's a big deal. It is a big deal, because God does not take lightly when you become a gainsayer. When you start putting up with false prophets and putting up with the crap that they teach, it brings God's wrath on yourself. You're doing nothing but harming yourself when you continue to be friends or pal around with people that hate your pastor or that preach damnable heresy or anything like that. Sometimes leadership knows things that people in the congregation don't know. And they have to do the hard job of being the first person to call something out, the first person to say that, hey, sorry, this person that you all, you know, your hearts all bleed over and share all their sermons and think they're so great, sorry, this person's wicked. And that's not a very popular thing to say a lot of times. A lot of times it brings hate on the pastor, and they accuse him of being bloodthirsty and all these things. But you know what? He's really just trying to save you. He's trying to keep you from being destroyed. Let's see what happens here in verse 27. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. So people did leave. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertained unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon him, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about unto them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So what happened? The people that left did the right thing. They hearkened to Moses' warning that he got directly from God. Separate yourselves from these wicked men or you're going to be destroyed. What happened to the ones that did not separate? The earth opened up her mouth and they fell quick into the pit, meaning alive. They were thrown alive into hell for getting carried away with these people. And obviously, we're not going to go to hell if you get deceived by a false prophet after you're saved. You're not going to go to hell for sharing false prophet sermon if you're saved. But you know what? God can bring destruction on you in many other ways. And you think it's a light deal? It's just not a big deal? You don't take your pastor seriously when he warns you about something? Hey, it is serious. It is serious. And God gave this example in the Bible for a reason. For a reason. I'll read for you Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. A lot of times, Pastor Thompson is not just calling someone out because he thinks it's fun, because he thinks it's fun to preach against these false prophets. He's doing it because, number one, they're sending people to hell, and he's doing it, number two, so that you don't become a gainsayer. Because why is it, if there's all these saved people at Old Paths Baptist Church, that they're still in that church? Why is it? Hey, it's because Pastor Perry is not following what Titus says to do. And you know what? We're no different than they are. It's not like they're just drinking Kool-Aid over there. I mean, I hope not. Right? Hey, we're all the same. You think that you can't be deceived by false doctrine? You are wrong. If you think that you can't get deceived and just become totally brainless, hey, you are wrong. That's why there has to be a man of God. That's why the Bible calls the pastor a shepherd, because we are sheep. You say, I don't like that, I'm not a sheep. If you think that, you are a sheep. You are a sheep. If you think that you don't need a shepherd, you are the person that needs the shepherd the most. That's why God gave us pastors and evangelists and teachers, all of these things for the edification of the saints. That's why God gave us these things. Because sometimes the pastor sees things you don't, and the pastor has to look out for you and warn you about these people so that you don't become a gainsayer, so that your Christian life does not get destroyed. You know that the people that go to Old Baptist Church, their Christian lives are destroyed. Yeah. They're in a horrible church. Like I said, it's either he's saved and he's wicked as hell, or he's a false prophet. Which one, do you want to be in a church of either of those two options? No. Telling people that, you know, when they're doing their Rolls for Souls campaign, not to bring their Bible. Do you want to go soul winning without your Bible? Do you want to be in a church with that kind of leadership? It is garbage. You know, you ought to thank God that you have a pastor that is not a hireling. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter, or actually, I'll just read this for you. Ecclesiastes 9:18 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. You know, Korah, he took all those men unto him. He took 250 men unto him, and you know, he destroyed a lot of people with his garbage teaching. And false prophets, just one false prophet can destroy a lot of good. And one person in here that's just allowed to gainsay, that's just allowed to talk crap about the pastor, can destroy a lot of good. It's something that we have to take seriously. So what is the application of this? Well, number one, instead of criticizing your pastor, maybe you should thank God that he isn't a hireling. Instead of always being contrarian, and always being against his decisions, and always bristling at the sermons he preaches, and always getting upset that he's calling out this person and that person, maybe now, after you see why he's doing it, you could be thankful that you have that pastor. You could be thankful that you're in a church with a good man of God, a good shepherd that's watching for you. You know, the Bible says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Your pastor has a very large task on his plate. He's going to be judged by God more than you are. He has more of a responsibility to God than you do. And you know what? You ought to just be thankful that you have someone that's willing to take that on. That's a heavy thing to take on. I'll read for you Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. What's a froward person? Just someone that's contrarian. Someone that's always against. It's the bleeding hearts. The bleeding hearts have a problem today. The Bible says that I hate the froward mouth. It's a horrible thing to be. You know, if you're just a person that's always contrarian, you obviously need to work on hating evil, pride, and arrogancy more. If you're always on the wrong side of every conflict, and it's always just like, oh, what is Pastor Anderson doing? Oh, what is Pastor Shelley doing? He's always wrong. If you're just always froward and contrarian, I just pray to God that you're never the leader. Because you're not going to be the Moses or the Aaron that warns the people. You're going to be the one that's getting deceived right along with them. I pray to God that the bleeding heart... Hey, we have enough bleeding hearts already as it is. We don't need bleeding heart preachers. I'll get to that in a second. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and that as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You're not the one that has to give an account. You know what you have to do? Obey and submit yourselves. Don't always bristle at your pastor. You know, receive the word with all readiness of mind. Be ready to believe the things that he shows you from the word of God, and then go home and search whether those things are so. But you know what? Your pastor, when he's calling people out, he's doing it for a good reason. He's doing it because he's being a good shepherd. He's not the hireling. You know, I like what Brother Remy said recently. He's like, you can fix a Peter, but you can't fix a snake. You know, I'd rather deal with someone who has a little too much zeal and is just ready to fight a little too much than someone who's a snake. Give me all the, I'll take all the Peters on my team. I'll take all the Jehus on my team, right? I don't want any snakes on my team. None. Number two, second application, is only preach the Bible if you're willing to shut people's mouth. Only preach the Bible if you're willing to shut people's mouth. I'll read for you again, Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Hey, we have enough hyper-grace preachers. We have enough bleeding heart preachers that aren't willing to shut people's mouth, that aren't willing to call people out. You know, we don't need any more of those people. We need people that by sound doctrine will convince and exhort the gainsayers. Hey, preach the Bible. Know what you're talking about. Read the Word of God. Don't say things like Judas is getting more people saved than all the disciples. That's not someone holding fast the faithful Word. Where do they learn that? Not from the Bible. Not from the Bible. If you get a chance to preach, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or just a preacher. Hey, the Bible says to shut their mouth. That's your job. If you're not willing to do it, then follow a man that will. We don't need any more people that are weak and soy boys and just slovenly preachers. We don't need any more. Preach the Bible with sound words, with sound doctrine, with the faithful word of God. And if you don't do it, shut up and follow Pastor Thompson, because he will. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for this church. I love this church so much. Lord, I've been able to grow so much here, and this church has done so much for me. I just pray that you bless Pastor Thompson and that you'd help him to continue to be a great pastor and a great shepherd for these people. Help these people not to ever become gainsayers, but that they'd be reading their Bible as well, that they would love their pastor and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.